Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we are joined for the next hour here in studio by our friend Paul Koharski from paulkoharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
Greetings. Happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Quite the commute. So the alarm was set early. And doubled up and all of that. Pretended like I was in a hotel. And then I came to the airport.
So. That's right.
You know, I just as we came on, I was like, oh, crap, I forgot to ask about the camera thing. But we got it going. Look at PK right in the middle of the screen. Look at that. Look at that beautiful dome. This is going to be fantastic.
So my mom is in town. And, of course, she asked yesterday if this was purely audio. And I said, well, there's a small camera element to it. And she said, so you'll be shaving? And I didn't.
The answer's no.
I said I would be shaving, but then Mike Herndon's piece was especially long that I was dealing with last night, and I was
especially tired.
I can get you a word count here in relative short order. Okay. But
like we're talking like 2-3K?
Well, I mean, this is with Twitter embedding stuff in it.
Oh, sure.
You know, Joe, I don't know if you have to ever deal with stuff like that where I don't know how technologically sound you are.
Not great.
6129. I know you're better than Glennon. 6129.
That's a lot of words.
Wow. Woo. And so this is a full preview.
Mike Herndon's guys. Guys he would get on the table for the Titans and guys that he likes more than mainstream draft people.
Okay.
Well, and one of those,
it's really good.
Well, one of those guys that he's talked with us about, that he's been vocal about, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba at wide receiver. And we were just talking with you about wide receiver and the Titans. And obviously at number 11, the big talk right now is quarterback, and we'll see what the Titans decide to do there. But what do you make of the holes that they have to fill at wide receiver, and what do you think of Jaxon Smith-Njigba in particular?
I like him, but I don't love him, which is my problem with wide receivers and offensive linemen at 11 in this draft, where they have to have a blue-chip guy, and they don't feel blue-chippy to me, which is a problem. So I think it's kind of a tough spot. You know, he's not, I don't think, Jamar Chase or Waddle. Or this list that came off last year with four in the top 12, Olave. I know his, you know, Heartline is saying that he's better than those guys, but it's a one-year production thing with a big hamstring issue last year. I thought Carthon kind of endorsed, you know, not Smith-Njigba in particular, but guys like him in general, like if it's one injury.
Yep.
You know, that's not a cross him off situation. It's only if it's a Caleb Farley situation would I be crossing him off the list, you know, with a persistent injury. But I'm still scared of him somewhat. But I think, you know, if you think he's the best receiver there and you think he's got blue chip heights and you like him better than the offensive lineman, maybe you go. My thing in this draft is I think maybe the three best defensive front guys and the three best cornerbacks are better than the three best offensive linemen and are better than the best wide receiver. And I'm leaving quarterbacks on the side for the time. And if you're, you know, I don't think you ever truly go best player available. If the best player available is a defensive tackle, it makes no sense to take somebody that's going to sit behind Jeffrey Simmons. But you know, if what I'm saying is true, you're kind of in a stuck spot. That trade back is the best scenario there, and I think a trade back is the best case scenario because they have six spots and they have nine needs, and not that the sixth rounder's going to play probably, but they have a lot of stuff they need and not enough resources to get them. Plus, as I said, I think the wide receiver's probably more worth 17, or the offensive lineman, depending on how you rate them, is probably more worth 17, and that people would be more likely to come up to get those defensive linemen and cornerbacks.
So when you say defensive front guys, you're including Nolan Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say Nolan Smith, Murphy, and Van Ness are the three I'm thinking of.
Okay, so yeah, dismissing, obviously, like Anderson will be gone. Okay,
yeah.
I got you. Well, no, it could be.
We've talked with you about quarterback, so obviously, I mean, you've made it known you're not a huge fan of these quarterbacks where the Titans could be selecting. And we've had people kind of agree with that, too. On the text line, it's kind of split down the middle of what we've seen from the fan base. But if the Titans don't go quarterback, what is the plan at quarterback beyond this year? If you're Rand Carthon, if you're Mike Vrabel, how do you address it? Knowing that if Tannehill's back, you're probably not going to be bad enough to get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May at the top of next year's draft.
Well, you don't know who will be at the top of the draft next year. You know the Texans will be in great position to go get a quarterback.
Yes.
They'll probably be bad, and they have draft ammunition to get to the top if they want to be there. Outside of that, you know, if people are saying sell the farm this year to go up, well, you could sell the farm next year to go up. You know, it looks like they're two. I have this debate with Mike Herndon. We haven't really debated it face-to-face. We've debated it in what we've written. You know, he says, if you go up and get your guy this year, as other teams have gotten their guy and been surrounded by bad people, it hasn't really hurt you in terms of being able to a rookie quarterback coming into a bad team hasn't ultimately hurt them. Look at what's happened with Joe Burrow. Look at what's happened with Trevor Lawrence. But I say, Joe Burrow was number one pick. Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick. They didn't trade up and give up a bunch of upcoming resources that they need. Joe Burrow got Ja'Marr Chase the next year. The Titans, if they trade up to three, won't have the Ja'Marr Chase pick next year. Now, if something falls in their lap at 11, that's a different story. But even Josh Allen, Buffalo traded two twos.
I was just going to throw that out.
Buffalo traded two twos. They still had the resources to get Stephon Diggs a year or two later. The Titans would be giving up a hell of a lot of resources to be able to build around that quarterback coming up.
Now, resources include cap space, and there's a ton next year.
There's a ton next year, but there are no wide receivers that make it to free agency. The top 10 wide receivers in the league have either been re-signed or traded for.
The trade.
And you need resources to trade for the guy, which is why, you know, everything goes back to what a dumb move it was to move A.J. Brown. So you have to draft and develop them and keep them or trade for them. You can't get them with cap money. And I went through this on a podcast lately, like back when they had $140 million. They're down to maybe $88 million now on next year's cap. Free agency is just not that good anymore. I mean, if you have a great player at the premier positions, it's very rare that he gets through to free agency. If he does, his team's cap-strapped, the really good ones. Otherwise, he's got some kind of ding on him.
See, but the main area where I
see Bud Dupree,
right? I just when you talk about next year, well, doing it. First of all, I don't think the Titans are going to be at 11. I think they're going to be better than that. I mean, if they bring the band back and there's reasonable hit rate on what Rand has done and will do in the draft, and so I think there's three or four teams right now that are already like, you know what, Caleb Williams or bust, Drake May or bust. I don't see how you're going to pry those teams out of those spots, and you're going to have to give up so much more to move from 19 or whatever to even think about it.
I agree, but that's my problem. I heard what you said on the way in. And, like, if you look at Will Levis' stuff, and I'm not saying the best draft analyst. I mean, all of us love Dane Brugler and some of these other guys. The most frequent comps for Will Levis, one of the most frequent comps, the Athletics comp for Will Levis, the Ringers comp for Will Levis, is Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I think it's a pretty good
comp.
So
what you're doing is saving a bunch of money to get the same guy. Well, you were saying this on the way in. If you're getting the 15th best quarterback in the league, you can't give up the house to get that. You give up the house to get a top five guy. So if you're getting a top five guy, I'm fine. If you're getting the 15th guy, stand pat and wait for a chance to get a top five guy. And I can't believe that Will Levis is going to be a top five guy. You got to come in the league with better accuracy and better decision making. You can't have we're talking about two guys in consecutive who lost to Vanderbilt this year.
that should make you undraftable immediately.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
And Richardson, you know, I see a lot of upside there. He started 13 games in college. 13 games. So there's so much on the job training. I think Richardson could be a guy that comes into the league and maybe excels with his second team. After his first team gives him all this on-the-job training where he takes all of these lumps and costs somebody his job.
How concerned are you about the C.J. Stroud stuff? Because to me, what's really going to be interesting tomorrow is what is Houston going to decide to do? Because we've always, until recently, just assumed that it's going to go some combination of Young and Stroud 1-2, and then Richardson and Levis will fall in after that. And now there's all this conversation about Stroud's not going to be taken at 2 by Houston, and we know that Arizona's not taking a quarterback at 3. Can they trade out of it? So what do you think? What do you think about the C.J. Stroud stuff? And if the Titans had a chance to go get him, would he be more intriguing to you than Richardson or Levis?
He's definitely more intriguing to me than – I mean, to me, it's a 2-quarterback deal. I'd be, you know, more excited for the Titans getting Stroud than the I'd be bummed out if they invested a lot in getting Levis or Richardson. I just think it's too big a project, and I think it would show overconfidence, if you will, in Tim Kelly and Charles London. Like, oh, we can take this guy and turn him into something. That he's not. And I really do think the accuracy and decision-making stuff is baked in the cake at this stage coming out. Stroud.
Except for Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is the big outlier, but I think it's a big mistake. I tweeted something from a Washington Post column that was terrific about the idea. Like, if you're thinking Josh Allen is that you're going to do things based on Josh Allen, it's a huge mistake because Josh Allen's the big outlier. Guys don't get more accurate in the NFL, generally speaking. Josh Allen is the big exception. So if you're saying scouting and saying, well, this guy's going to be the next Josh Allen, you're really screwing yourself. Because
I agree.
15 more examples.
We just never had that before. Right. We just never had one of him,
right? Yeah, right. Like, there's 15 other guys you look at, who Jake Locker, chief amongst them, from your own history, who you thought you were going to do that with, who didn't come close to doing that. You know, Stroud had a big moment at his most recent biggest moment against the best team. So that's encouraging. But I still see a kind of like you want to see the starting pitcher, the starting quarterback walk on the field really calm and poised and all of that. But I feel like he's right towing the line between coming into the huddle with that poise and calm or coming into the huddle with the blank stare like I'm – not so sure.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It seems like it's been very persistent with rumors about Ryan, including yesterday on SportsCenter. Can you make it easier on the player, in this case on Ryan, to shut it down and say, no, like Ryan will be the quarterback this year?
So just to let you guys in, Ryan and I had a conversation back in February that was between Ryan and I and Ryan and our organization. So Ryan knows where he stands with us, and that's really all that matters to me.
How come you don't ask good questions like Stillman? Huh? What's wrong? Why can't you
ask questions
like that?
Is there anyone here willing? I'm going to offer the challenge now to educate Jared Stillman on how press conferences work. And what will be answered and what won't be answered? What's worth the time, not just his time, but the time of everybody there?
I totally disagree with you.
Including Rand Carthen.
I totally disagree. That question actually got a good response. And you know what? I think it's okay to say, well, you just did this. You just said this is done. Will you do it with him? I don't think there's anything wrong with that question. You just have a personal problem with Stillman.
Well, that's true, too. But everything is just reactive, reactive, reactive. So-and-so said this. What do you say to that? So-and-so said this. So-and-so said that. Anything come from him?
Again, this could be a great Stillian Pauly segment. I don't know.
How about some from you?
I think, honestly, no. I'm not.
I got
not
my list here. Fowler said this. Brugler said that. Rappaport said this. I need a reaction to each of these comments so that I could play that clip at the beginning of the segment and then rant about it coming out. Let's orchestrate my show here, Rand.
The main thing is, as long as someone will say, well, Jared, and then he'll play it really loud. Yeah. Jared.
Guess I'm not a good coach.
Oh,
Rand, do you think I got David Poyle fired, yes or no?
Oh, my goodness. By the way, have you said hi to Junie? Have you ever seen Junie before?
Yeah, people are making a big deal out of this. Junie, I apologize if this hurts you. I worked at the Zone for a long time. You were an intern at the Zone. But I was very condensed into Midday 180 at the Zone. And so my focus was Midday 180. And there were a lot of people that worked at the Zone who I did not know. I was in and out of Midday 180. What was your degree of connection to the Midday 180? I'm thinking zero or close to zero.
No, it wasn't zero. I mean, I used to go out to the Titans Pro Shop every time y'all broadcasted on Fridays. Many times, Edley's, you do weekly appearances there. I was even there when Martina McBride baked you all cookies, and you all were in Studio C for the first time, which
like
you all eventually would go on to do for a while. So, so yes, there was many occasions during that 2020 year that we worked together, Paul. And I also know your favorite drink, which is an Arnold Palmer.
I do love a nice
that you
Arnold
used to
Palmer.
Ask me to go get for you at the 7-Eleven by Nissan Stadium all the
wow.
time. So
hey,
there you go.
Hey, Nameless Peon, get me some combos.
I'm known for this. During my time at Outkick 360, which has since been rebranded, they had a guy who I had met several times, and then we had a reception, I think, when you guys took the show to your secondary station. And they had this guy come up to me and introduce himself to me and say he wanted to intern for the show. And I had a whole conversation with him about his desire to intern for the show. It turned out he worked for the company. So he feels worse than you. And I can do nothing but apologize and admit that things like this happen with me.
So you brought up.
I'm so locked in that I.
Yeah.
That's why he's the best. He's a pro.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as we know.
So you brought up the Jeremy Fowler Tannehill stuff there, like you said.
Was it Fowler that had this? Whoever said it on Sunday morning.
That was Fowler, yeah.
Titans are open to trading Ryan Tannehill. Well, I mean, we got this indication very early. So I just don't understand how, just because somebody's on ESPN, if they repeat something that's common knowledge, it then becomes something that, A, Jared is going to turn into a show, B, like the public. I want you guys, which are the best show in Nashville, but every show in Nashville, and none of them are doing it, to educate the public on this. That this is Jeremy Fowler saying something that could happen, and we just lost all nuance. That goes from that on Twitter to the Titans are trading Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And nobody seems willing, from the little bit I hear and from what gets back to me on Twitter and even on my site. Look, my site is a niche site, and it's mostly people who are very into the Titans and very smart about it, if I dare say. It won't reel it back. It won't reel it back. The Titans have checked Derrick Henry's trade price maybe with somebody. Oh my God, they've traded. Not even they're going to trade. They've traded Derrick Henry.
Exactly.
Who's going to play running back this year? I mean, the leaps in logic, I understand being emotional about your team. I'm emotional about my teams. But the leaps in logic are just, I have a harder and harder time dealing with it.
Well,
nobody takes a breath and says, well, you know, gauging Derrick Henry's trade price makes some sense. By the way, Derrick Henry has no trade price. This is the other place that we're failing people. I don't know how much you guys talk about it or don't talk about it because I'm not up for a lot of your show. But to trade Derrick Henry, people were treating this like news and a relief that Rand has taken no calls on Derrick Henry. Rand has taken no calls on Derrick Henry because nobody wants a running back that needs 18 carries a game to be successful and would cost them $10.5 million right now. The price tag gets ignored. How can
you
absorb?
Do you think we haven't discussed this like a million times?
I hope you have.
I mean, my God.
But I'm here to lend my voice to it. $10.5 million take on right now is incomprehensible. And you'd have to extend him or do something to get that money down. Ryan Tannehill would cost $27 million right now. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but it's effectively a no-trade clause. Bayard 13.6 2 years in a row, maybe more manageable. I think people would probably rather have Buda Baker right now if you're trading for safety. So I think you could relax on these three. There's huge financial hurdles to be dealt with. Now, I understand the A.J. Brown thing, but that was probably being worked on at this stage last year.
Yeah.
So maybe one of these is being worked on. Who wants Ryan Tannehill right now? Like,
well, the one
who needs a starting quarterback right
now? It could have happened, but the market looks – Yeah.
There's no Well, the one that kills me is this perception out there that Derrick Henry is worth like a second-round pick or something. Like it just drives me nuts. Not.
Also, I looked at Derrick Henry. In the last 4 years, you would have to reshape your offense for Derrick Henry. He needs at least 18 carries. Buffalo is the team everybody puts him with, right? Buffalo, if you take out Josh Allen's carries, has 18 carries a game last year for non-Josh Allen people. Derrick Henry, in the last 4 years, with 18 carries or less, the Titans are 2-12. So you got to give him volume.
Some of that is what chicken and egg, right? You fall behind, you're throwing. But yes.
But what team is going to give him that kind of volume that doesn't already have something set up for that kind of volume? And if you have something set up for that kind of volume, guess what you have? A volume runner already.
Yeah, and I think some teams would still take him and say, you know what? He could still be effective, help us, but not at that price, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's just...
And what those guys are going to want if they're going to negotiate with the team is that money in the same timetable that they're getting it now, if not more.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next, including a special Choice Is Yours edition, draft edition that Joe Rexroad has tossed together. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We got a special edition of The Choice Is Yours this week, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joe Rexroad, you have a Titans / NFL draft edition of The Choice Is Yours for us this week. Go ahead.
Yes, this is ambitious. We're going to get this done. Think fast. We're doing snake drafts. Okay. We're all drafting, okay? Oh. Sports or non-sports, Paul?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. Okay. We're going to do a two-round draft, snake draft. You know what a snake draft is. That means the last pick takes two. All four of us. This will be a snake draft of desserts.
Oh.
Starting with our guest, Paul Kuharsky. Paul, Michelle, Robbie, me, go. First round pick of desserts, Paul.
Chocolate cake.
Just chocolate cake? Like chocolate on chocolate?
Yes.
Or yellow cake with chocolate frosting?
Chocolate.
Chocolate, chocolate. Okay, Michelle?
Cheesecake.
Anything else about it?
Okay, well, just a normal cheesecake with maybe some raspberry, the stuff that they put on top of it.
Yeah.
Elite.
That's elite. Robbie?
Banana pudding.
Come on! Yep, terrible. You did not go first round
banana
pudding.
Are you not a banana pudding guy either? Good gracious.
Fruit and dessert is bad, generally speaking.
I love you, Paul. Thank you. We finally got a way to trash banana pudding.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going key lime pie. Okay, I've got two. I'm going key lime pie.
Just go key lime pie.
And actually, my second one was cheesecake with cherries. So that's basically the same thing. So my second one, I know some people are going to laugh at me. I don't care. Carrot cake. Elite carrot cake.
Terrible.
Oh, it's so good. Terrible. Now I don't
like
you anymore.
I kind of love it.
Thank you. All right, Robbie.
I'll go snickerdoodle cookie.
Woo.
Very specific.
Whoa. Okay.
Yep.
That's off the board. That's a UDFA coming into the second round. Michelle?
I'm going to go just a nice chocolate chip cookie, fresh out of the oven. Never fails.
Okay, and the last pick, Paul.
Well, I was going to do the chocolate chip cookie like in the skillet with the ice cream on it, but that overlaps with yours. So, profiteroles, you familiar?
No.
It's kind of like it's French. It's kind of, it's baked like flaky with ice cream on it. I'm doing a terrible job describing it. It's almost like a beignet.
Okay.
Delicious.
My goodness.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks pretty good.
I mean, we went way off the board. You know, the fact that no German chocolate cake, no Boston cream pie, no apple pie a la mode.
Well, you took carrot cake.
No hot fudge sundae. I know. But I still won that one. Okay. Sports. This is another two-round draft, a snake draft. All-time NFL coaches, starting with Robbie. Robbie, it's the same order, but, you know, so Robbie, Joe, Paul, Michelle.
All-time NFL coaches. I'll go Belichick, number one.
Okay. Very disappointed in you.
I know.
Because I'm going to take Vince Lombardi.
I know.
Yes. Thank you for letting me take Vince Lombardi. Paul.
Bill Parcells.
Ooh.
I like that.
Okay.
My turn?
Very East Coast of you. Yep.
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Off the board. Another UDFA. I mean, he's a great coach, but we're talking about. All right, you got two, actually. Tomlin and.
I'll go Andy Reid. This just shows my age right now.
Andy Reid's
good. This is a very Gen Z picks. Paul.
Bill Walsh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's probably where I was going to go, too. Now, it's between, you know what? I'm going to go a little bit off the board because I think what he did without elite quarterbacks was special. I'm going to go Joe Gibbs. And that leaves Robbie some really good picks with the last pick.
I'll go Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll was very close for me. Don Shula goes unpicked in eight picks.
I hate Don Shula.
That is wild.
Why?
Why do you hate Don Shula?
Don Shula complained about the sweeping of the area for the field goal.
Yeah.
And then uncovered Joe Robbie Stadium the night before the AFC Championship game against the Jets when the Jets had Freeman McNeil.
Freeman McNeil! Richard Todd?
Slopping up the field for his passing offense against the Jets. So is it important, the field condition, or is it not important, the field condition?
Hey,
a hypocrite.
He's just trying to win, okay?
Hypocrite.
God, you're so petty. Okay, two-round draft, snake draft, movie comedies. And it's now this time Joe, Paul, Michelle, Robbie. I'm glad I get to go first. I bet you, first of all, I hope Paul has seen this. I don't think you two have. It's an absolute crime worldwide that everyone hasn't seen this movie. This is Spinal Tap number one with a bullet.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
I forgot the order.
You.
Wedding Crashers.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Interesting. That's a little bit of a dark horse.
Michelle.
Oh, is it my turn? Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory.
One of my favorite movies ever. Hilarious.
I like that.
I will go The Big Lebowski.
I like The Big Lebowski. You got two.
I will also go Old School.
Ooh.
Now me.
Okay. Yep.
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
I mean,
you can dodge.
I mean, I can't argue with
you. Can dodge a ball.
That's right. PK.
I'm going way back. You people are going to have to go watch this. It's phenomenal. Foul Play.
Okay.
Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase.
Wow, man. That's like
1978.
I was going to say it's about 79-80. I vaguely remember that movie. That is a super deep cut on your part. Okay, man. So here's a question. Some people would say, does Dazed and Confused count as a comedy?
I think so.
It's a great movie.
I think it's something that you shouldn't consider for this, whether it's a comedy or not.
Why is
should
that?
Because it's not good. Go to your next.
You've never even seen it. You've never seen Dazed and Confused.
I've seen enough of it to change to something
ridiculous.
Better.
Ridiculous.
See, that's like me with Office Space.
Ridiculous. I'm gonna go Coming to America.
Okay.
Much better choice. Yeah, I talked you out of Dazed and Confused.
With Friday, Tommy Boy, Office Space, Monty Python, The Holy Grail, Fast Times, Ridgemont High, Airplane, Blazing Saddles, Wedding Singer, There's Something About Mary, some of the honorable mentions. Okay. Back to sports. Another two-round draft, snake draft, and this one is...
People know it's a two-round draft, snake draft.
Okay, well, if someone just tuned in right now, I'd like to inform the listener. You want to teach everybody
snake draft.
Stuff. Michelle.
We all know what a snake draft is.
Michelle, you got the first pick. This is all-time NFL quarterbacks.
Tom Brady.
Okay. Brady first.
Who's two?
Oh, yeah. Michelle, Robbie, Joe, Paul.
I'll go Peyton Manning.
WH Emma.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I would have done too.
Yeah.
Me?
Oh, no. Actually, you. It is me. Oh God, actually, I don't like this. Well, I'm gonna go Joe Montana. I'll go Joe Montana.
So Peyton Manning, Montana off the board.
Yep.
I'm screwed because I'm going to be the old-timer, I guess, and go Unitas.
Ooh, okay. Johnny, you. You can set your watch to that haircut. You got another one.
I don't want to go all old-time, but...
Show your age. It's fine.
Jeez. Jim Kelly?
Okay.
Wow. That's a deep cut. Okay.
I'm not happy.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Man, this is
tough. I wanted
tough.
Montana. When I didn't get Montana, I got thrown off.
This is tough. But you know what? I'm going to go deep cut and a nod to the franchise here in town. I'm going to go Warren Moon. 6 years that dude was not in the NFL that he should have been in the NFL.
Okay.
And he still got to Canton with outrageous numbers.
I feel better about Unitas and Kelly.
If Warren Moon had played from the time he should have played in the NFL, there'd be a lot less question about
this. He's not top eight. He's fantastic, but he's not top eight.
Neither is Jim Kelly.
I'll go.
Neither is Johnny Unitas.
Not. Johnny Unitas is top eight.
I'll go John Elway. Yeah. Me Elway.
He's top eight.
That's good.
Yeah. Marino, Elway. Steve
Wait,
Young.
Did somebody say Marino?
Aaron Rodgers.
Steve
no,
Young's not better than Unitas.
That was my choice, so.
Who?
Marino?
Marino.
Okay.
Dan Marino.
Oh, sorry.
Couldn't win.
Yes. Dan Marino. Okay, good. I'm glad we got Elway Marino in there.
Couldn't win.
They needed to be. But Steve Young? Steve Young has a case. Aaron Rodgers? I mean, what about Patrick Mahomes? I mean, well, he's not there right now.
That was for her. But she's doing all current quarterbacks.
Players.
And do you know who Johnny Unitas is?
Nope.
But the biggest oversight here of everything, obviously, Dan Fouts.
Yes, please. Let's learn more about Dan Fouts.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yes, no question about it.
I've got his access to him. He's a Hall of Fame voter.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our special edition of The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll get back into the Titans and the NFL draft. One more segment with Paul Koharski from paulkoharski.com coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. You can check them out at biteabitthaisushi.com.
Was the actual song unavailable, Michelle?
Dude, were you trolling PK with that? That's outstanding trolling. Well, he's a huge Bruce fan. Oh, like most sports writers, like, oh, Bruce!
Found
he's like,
Muzak.
What is this? Muzak Springsteen.
Found a Muzak version.
You're welcome. Well, I'm happy that it worked. I had no idea.
You're a dedicated Springsteen guy.
Did you know anything before like 1995?
Yeah.
What year were you born?
97.
97.
Jeez. Do you know anything? Do you know anything before 1947 when you were born in 49? No. So don't worry about it. The World War II was happening, by the way, in the mid-40s. Thank you.
I mean, you're dedicated. Did you go to Tulsa to see Springsteen? That's dedication.
A connecting flight.
Oh, man.
Now that.
That's pretty good.
Why though? Like, I mean,
good tickets.
Okay. Well, you've seen them here and in other places around here. Tulsa was just special.
It was a good date. I had a good, cheap connecting flight and a good ticket.
Where'd you connect?
I don't remember.
All right. Yeah. You are 70.
I actually didn't. I mean, I had a pretty good ticket, but I moved into a Supreme seat. Ooh. If you go solo and you map out, I don't want
to
give everybody.
You went by yourself to the Supreme seat?
Oh, yeah. I went to two by myself, and then I went to Greensboro with my wife.
You got about 3 feet of them, too. It was awesome.
So nice you do bring them along at times. That's good. All right.
Yeah. It was Simon's first show.
He did you like it?
Way in. He's like, that's totally different than I expected. I thought it'd be like a guy and a guy with a guitar and a guy with a saxophone. It's like an 18-piece band.
That's awesome. So, PK, as you look at kind of the 30,000-foot view of the Titans right now as they head into the draft, where is this team in terms of kind of the fork in the road that they're at right now? Of the, we've talked about the quarterback being competitive over the next few years. Say they don't get a quarterback. Where do you think this team is in terms of Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, the overhaul that we've seen to some degree already this offseason with the offensive line? What is your state of the union of the Tennessee Titans right now?
Well, they need, you know, we're probably being a little unrealistic in what we're hoping for out of the draft. You want three guys that can contribute right away. That's a big ask. But, you know, that's the expectation for Rand Carthon right now. I have high expectations for Vrabel. I know last year fell apart. I mean, I think they stretched and stretched and stretched as long as they could, using practice squad caliber guys at a lot of spots. And then when the quarterback goes down, you know, they lost 4 out of 5 without Tannehill. And the schedule, I think, was structured in a way where, you know, I anticipated them losing more games late after they were 7-3. But I don't think they can be terrible because Vrabel is good. You know, I think the floor would probably be 7 wins. They've got a second-place schedule, which softens 3 games and gets them out from under Kansas City and Buffalo and San Francisco, I think, which are 3 nice games to get out from under. Gotta be less injured, which is a big thing. The David Long thing was a big, more than symbolic gesture on that front. But, you know, even if they get into the playoffs, unlikely as the division winner, I think possible as a 7th seed. You know, I don't think they're going to have the juice to contend with the kind of quarterbacks you have to contend with in the AFC, and that's where they're going to be. And I understand that's why fans feel like you have to have a different quarterback. But I will say, the quarterback in the AFC that had the second highest passer rating last year was Tyler Huntley. So you could say all you want. I love Joe Burrow and a lot of these guys in the AFC, but AFC quarterbacks were not putting up massive numbers in the playoffs last year. And I don't have faith in Ryan Tannehill as a playoff quarterback, but if he could get in the playoffs and just play average, if they're playing the kind of football they want, they could do what they did in 2019. I mean, I understand why they think they could do that.
So it sounds like, well, but it sounds like you would favor, and I know what you're saying, basically, quarterback, like, you don't know how it's going to work out. You may have to look at it later, but it sounds like even if you were looking at one path or the other, you would pick, hoping that these offensive line adds have been good, hoping you can draft a receiver who is instant impact, hoping the defense stays healthy and is top 5 in the league. I mean, that's possibly, well, yeah, it could be possible. The corners stay healthy, all this stuff, and that this could at least be
competitive,
a team in the playoffs that could do something, maybe.
Yeah,
and fringe, that's the way they
fringe
should go.
Playoff team. That's the way I would go. And then next year, you know, you assess that and you go bigger. You build off of what Rand did. I think he's going to make some changes in the staff. And you see what you've got in Tim Kelly and Charles London. These are big moves for Mike Vrabel,
yep,
who's clearly a better defensive coach than he is an offensive coach, and understandably so. But there's a big shakeup on offense. I mean, how many guys are left where they were? Rob Moore? You know, there's been a pretty big merry-go-round there with the people who are left shifted and some new people coming in. And those people need to be better, particularly with the passing game and the play call.
I agree. I look at this receiving core right now. And I know they drafted Burks last year, and they're going to come away with somebody, I would assume, in the draft
here. Two somebodies, I hope.
You would hope that it's two somebodies. But that's just so much that you have to have go right with receivers in the draft and then Treylon Burks becoming what you drafted him to be last year. I mean, that's a lot that has to go right, and it's hard for me to get there.
And they need dynamic players. Not, I mean, receivers, the obvious place and where you see it the most. But who are dynamic players on this team?
Right.
You know, you look at Jeffrey Simmons, you look at Chig, Burks potentially when he's healthy, Byard, you know, presuming he's here. But the list dwindles pretty fast. Henry, you know, still had 1,500 yards last
year. You need Landry
year.
To be dynamic, but he's coming out the ACL, right?
Right. But it's a short list. I mean, we basically just covered the list. There's not a lot. And tentpole guys, you know, beyond Simmons, the tentpole guys, you know, Landry's one. But it's a short list very fast. They need those guys.
So, what's the best case scenario in terms of how the draft unfolds before, you know, as soon as it starts out? Best case scenario for the Titans before it gets to them, if that makes sense.
Well, I would say, because I'm not, well, I mean, unless Stroud's falling to 11, I would say, you know, get Levis and Richardson off the board and get defenders off the board. unless they're in love with somebody there, or you know, I presuming that they're going to address the need, you know, the more offensive players that are there at 11, you know, if all three tackles are there and Smith and Jigba's there and everything, maybe you can then trade back to 14 or 15. Let somebody, maybe if they don't love Smith and Jigba, but they do like Paris Johnson, then you can move back to 14, get a little bit, still wind up with your guy. That, to me, the trade back is ideal. That no, that lack of a fourth-round pick, if you could get a second-second or a second-third, I think that gives you a lot. You need volume. Look, Rand said himself, it's a crapshoot.
Yep.
It's a predictive thing. When you're playing craps, you want as many rolls as you can get. And they need more roles than six when it's easy to rattle off nine needs. And then a lot of people, and you said this, Robbie, on my drive in, you know, people just kind of assume you're going to hit on all of those. Well, they've got six picks, so they'll get six hits and they'll fill six of those needs. Well, the seventh rounder's not filling a need.
Right.
You know, he's a project that's probably winding up on the practice squad, or because this roster's thin, he might be on the roster. But the odds of him helping you on offense or defense, very small. Or if he does, he's helping you, and the third rounders fail, you know, and you sub out.
Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. First round is finally almost here. You can check out coverage at paulkoharski.com. PK, really great stuff as always. We enjoy you every week on the show, but really enjoyed today having you come in for a full hour. It was nice.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, Junie.
Hey. Oh, yeah. He'll
look, I've learned your name in this hour.
Yeah.
No, so progress.
That's progress.
You can spell it.
No, it's not coming back.
Now look at this real fast. Look at this real fast. Greg Anderson makes this. Here you see this graphic. You and Jared, Paulie and Stilly. The problem is Greg gets Stilly and Paulie. Jared gets first billing.
No, I don't care, but here's
Jared the thing. Gets first billing.
That will never happen. And if it happened, it would only happen once.
So it can't
that's
happen.
All we need.
Because there might be an assault. Is
no,
that
because Stilly would never let it happen a second time after he was against intellect.
That's all we need. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.